Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, September 10th, episode 83 in this podcast. Today, we get into a bunch of topics. First, Jamal Murray signs a massive extension with the Denver Nuggets. We'll talk about the play of Jamal Murray, and is this the right move for a Denver Nuggets team in a loaded Western Conference? Next, we head to the W with three games tipping off on 9/11. First off, a big matchup with Asia Wilson and the Las Vegas Aces heading to play the Indiana Fever and, of course, Caitlin Clark. We also have the Washington Mystics and the Chicago Sky, an interesting match with two teams jockeying for the eighth and final playoff spot in the WNBA. And the last game of the night is going to have the Seattle Storm taking on the LA Sparks. Lastly, we'll go and continue our previews of the NBA, going with the Golden State Warriors, the Houston Rockets, and the Indiana Pacers. And before we get started, folks, I do want to make sure with tomorrow when it's being dropped, it being 9/11, and the importance of this day is in this country, and just make sure when you get a chance, folks, if you can, thank a fireman, thank a police officer, thank our troops, thank anyone that keeps this country safe, and hopefully, they said it on 9/11/2001, never again. Let's get started in today's podcast in talking about Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray signed a four-year, $208 million extension with the Denver Nuggets. And it's interesting, folks, because I feel like when we get to these points, it's almost like these teams have to give these guys the bag, but do they have to give them the full bag? And I think that's a question you have to start to think about here. Jamal Murray is a fantastic talent. This is, you know, we've talked about, and I've talked about it, what we call bubble Murray, right? Jamal Murray in the playoffs, in the bubble years ago. Jamal Murray's play, even in last year's run to an NBA title, but when you start to pull back and look at Jamal Murray's career, this past year in 23-24, folks, he did average 21.2 points per game. That is a career high. He shot 48.1% from the floor. That's a career high. He shot 42.5% from three. That's a career high. He had 4.1 rebounds, second to only 4.2 in 18-19, right? And his assists at 6.5 were career high. So why do I not sound too enthusiastic about what Jamal Murray got? It's his health. This is a Jamal Murray that only played 48 games in 2021, 65 games in 22-23, and 59 games in 23-24, which means he can't even get a Supermax deal, even if he wanted to, because he doesn't play enough games to qualify. So my concern with Jamal Murray's never been his game. It's his ability to be there, right? But there was a famous phrase, the best kind of ability is availability or dependability, right? Can Jamal Murray give you 75 games? Well, folks, he hasn't given us 75 games since 2018-2019. Now, I know we had the COVID shutdown and stuff like that. I get it. But still, he hasn't given Denver 75 games. And it's just, if you look at it, folks, this is a Denver Nuggets team that, folks, have you all looked at this division? Have you guys looked at this division that they're in, right? When you look at who they got to go through every night, the fact that they got to play Oklahoma City and Minnesota. I mean, you could argue that the three best teams in the Western Conference all are in the Northwest Division. So while I love Jamal Murray, I'm a big Murray guy, big bubble Murray guy, you have to be concerned with, can he give you enough games to be that Robin to the Superman of Nikola Jokic? And it brings up a point that I talked about, I do believe it was last week, we talked about Denver, and you look at this team with their depth, with Christian Brown not being the starting two guard, with KCP in Orlando, Bruce Brown left last year, Jeff Green left last year, right? They bring Russ in, right? They take Deron Holmes, the star rookie out of Dayton, he tears his Achilles. If Denver's going to make a run to try and get back to the NBA Finals and win a championship second in 3 years, Jamal Murray has to earn every bit of that money. And the biggest way he's going to have to do it is do it two ways. Number one, show up and play and give them 75 or so games, which he, like I said, has not given them since the 18-19 season. And he's got to be Jamal Murray in the playoffs. And there's two different Jamal Murrays. There's the one that scored 24 points a game versus the Lakers, or the one that scored 18.4 against Minnesota. Right? The one that, you know, didn't shoot it well from three in either series, 29.4%, 33.3%. You know? Are we going to get Jamal Murray the game seven where he had 35 points? Or do we get the Jamal Murray game six, 4 of 18 for 10 points? You got the massive deal, Jamal. And you looked horrible in the Olympics. Let me just add that really quick. So do yourself a favor. Earn that money. Be available and be great. Now let's head to the WNBA, which has three intriguing matchups, leading off with the Las Vegas Aces as a three-point favorite on the road versus Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever. This line has moved, and make sure, folks, when you do go and you look, please be sure to check the lines, because when we started looking at this podcast, it was 1.5. It's moved to 3. I anticipate there could be more movement. And the movement, folks, is going to be based primarily on if Asia Wilson is going to play. So make sure you take a look at that. Over-under of the game right now is at 178. So here's how we're going to do this, folks. Simply put, if Asia's playing, go ahead and take the Indiana Fever. I'm sorry, take the Las Vegas Aces on the money line. You know, on the money line right now is at minus 154. Maybe when you get up, it could be a little bit under. You know, usually I don't like to go minus 150, but 154, a couple of cents, I'll do it. Because this is a big spot for a Las Vegas Aces team that really, without Asia Wilson, played relatively well against the New York Liberty, only losing by 4 points. We've talked about this time and time again. It's the play of the others that's going to make this team go. Can Jackie Young, can, you know, Chelsea Gray, from Kelsey Plum, can they make enough shots, particularly from the three-point line, to get this done? Now, if you look at the game, the Liberty did not cover the spread. So you got to look at the fact that, folks, the Vegas Aces have covered their last 5 games in a row. So they're playing better basketball. Indiana Fever coming into this game have not covered your last 3 games, a wild game, a 104-100 win. If you look at the head-to-head matchups, they've played twice this year, and the Vegas Aces have won by 19 both times. Now, the key thing is both of those games were before July 4th, and obviously the Indiana Fever is playing better. But I'm not playing around with this. Simply put, if Asia Wilson is in the lineup, I'm taking the Las Vegas Aces on the money line. If it goes over minus 116, it's at minus 3.5, take a minus 3.5. I expect a big performance out of Asia Wilson in that game. Second game on the docket has the Washington Mystics heading to Chi-Town to take on a angel-less Chicago Sky. And the Chicago Sky are a 1.5-point favorite at this moment. And when you really think about this game, folks, this game has become it's very, very important when it comes to the WNBA and the standings, folks, because you're looking at two teams in the W that are really competing for that last spot. You got to remember, folks, seven out of the eight spots are been taken. Chicago's 13 wins, Atlanta 12, Washington 11. So this becomes an extremely important game for a Washington Mystics team that, for the most part, has played a lot better basketball since starting the season 0-12. So when you look at this matchup, I'm going to be honest with you, and I think this is happening. I think this guy may be tanking. And we'll get into that next week when it's the end of the regular season and we start looking how the things kind of shook down. The Washington Mystics, folks, they're 7-1 against the spread their last eight games. Okay? They're playing good basketball. Chicago, on the flip side, has covered, yes, three of the last four, including that big win over Dallas, 92-77, but Dallas don't play no damn defense. They're another team that's kind of torpedoing, right? So when I look at this game, and you look at the head-to-head matchups, right, Chicago has won one game. Last two games, 83-81, 74-70 by Washington. So the reason why I'm also liking Washington on the money line to win this game, they have more to play for. If they win, that's a 3-1 series win or regular season series win over Chicago, which now puts them ahead of Chicago in a head-to-head. I want people to understand that. That becomes important because you also have to look at really quickly the Atlanta Dream and their record of 12-23, and you kind of start peeling back, you know, how they've done versus certain teams. You know, obviously they beat Washington early on in the year, but they are 1-1 against Washington with two games left to play. So that's big there. So Washington, folks, even though they're two games behind, they control their own fate. I'm going to go on a limb here. I like what Mike Thibault's team has done down the stretch. Give me the Washington Mystics on the money line. Plus 108. Third game of the day. Oh, boy. I talked about three good games. Maybe it's two. Seattle Storm minus 10 on the road versus Derica Hamby and the Los Angeles Sparks. And this is an interesting matchup because when we talk about the WNBA and the draft, could LA be tanking? Because right now I think they have the least amount of wins over 2 years, which gives them, I think, a 42% chance of the number one pick. What could be Kiki Arifin or Paige Beckers. We'll talk about that more next week. Seattle, after going through a terrible stretch, covered the last three games against the spread. Meanwhile, the Sparks have not covered three of the last four games. Head-to-head matchups, Seattle won by 17, Seattle won by 6. This is before the tanking, I would say. So to me, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take the Seattle Storm. I'm going to take them minus the points. I think this is something that they can get to and go ahead and cover that spread. If you are a little nervous about the spread, and I get it, I get it. Take the Seattle Storm in the first half to go ahead and cover that game because I think you'll see them get off to a good start. The worry and concern you're going to be is obviously the money line. I mean, not the money line, the backdoor cover, the second half for being a 10-point line. So go ahead and give me Seattle minus the points. When it comes out, it'll probably be about 5.5. Seattle, first half, minus 5.5. So really quick, we're going to go with the Vegas Aces, provided the fact that Adrian Wilson plays on the money line. If it gets over minus 160, go ahead and take them minus 3.5. We're going to go ahead and we're going to take the Washington Mystics on the money line because I think they have more to play for and they control their own destiny. I think it means something to them. Because you got to remember, they had a good record. They made the playoffs last year with Elaine and Deladon. And then I'm going to go ahead and take the Seattle Storm -10. But if you want to take a -5.5 in the first half, when the books lay that first half line, I will not have any problem with that. Now to the NBA and our preview of teams. And let's go to the Golden State Warriors, a team that's had a rich tradition for a long time. The Golden State Warriors, who just gave Steph Curry the bag with a little bit of an extension. Do know, their over-under win total is 43.5. Okay? Odds to win the Pacific Division, folks, it's the hardest division in the NBA. 5-1. Phoenix, Lakers, Clippers, Kings, and Warriors. It's tough. Tough. You could argue all five teams can make the playoffs, but they won't. Odds to win the Western Conference are 22-1. Odds to win the NBA championship 45-1. And it really hinges on Steph Curry. How much can he carry him? Because ain't a lot much left. They let Clay go. You know, they tried to ramp it up. Remember, folks, they won 46 games last year. So people are expecting a step back here from Golden State. Steph was fantastic, folks. He's always been. But it's going to be a different era now with Podzinski, who they're really high on. Andrew Wiggins, who they can't trade. What is he going to do? What is he going to bring? Right? Out of shape. Not really engaged. Draymond Green. When is the next time he's going to blow up? And if they have to do a poor start, does a team take a chance on Draymond? And a trade to hope to reinvigorate what he brings to the table. This is a lot. And then you have to look at Trace Jackson Davis, possibly at center, or Kevon Looney. We'll see. Jonathan Kuminga was really had a great year last year, kind of exploded. I love the pickup of Kyle Slowmore Anderson, and obviously Bad Buddy, Buddy Hield, DeAnthony Melton. They've tried to fortify their bench. I give the Golden State credit for that because if you think about Golden State, that's how they made themselves great over the years, right? It was their bench play. It was the Gary Payton the seconds. It was the Otto Porters. It was the Damian Lees. It was those guys in that second group that can keep the game even to allow to get their stars rest. I love Steph Curry. Odds to win MVP are 40-1. The lead the league in regular season made threes is -260, and him to score 60-plus points in any game is 9-1. Folks, I love Steph. I love him to death. I can't bet on any market with Steph Curry right now. He's not going to be the MVP. It's too much minus money for him to lead the season in threes. So I can't go there with Steph. And 60-plus points for someone that could score a ton, that's still a lot. I would need a lot more better odds for that. But when you look at this team, where can you find – is there a spot where you can find value? It's Golden State to make the play-in tournament at plus 145. I don't think they're a top 16. Personally, like you go through the West, right now. Who is Golden State better than? I mean, let's literally, and then if people disagree with me, please tweet at me at Coach Young NJ. Let's have a conversation. Who are they better than in the West going into this year? Not better than Oklahoma City. Not better than Denver. Not better than Minnesota. Not better than Dallas. I don't think they're better than Phoenix. And I expect huge jumps out of New Orleans and out of Memphis. I think San Antonio is going to be better. I think Sacramento is better than them. So if you line them up, I don't see them being a top six seed. Best way to play this right now, Golden State plus 145 on FanDuel right now to make the play-in tournament, seeds 7-10. That's where I think Golden State falls under. Now let's go to the Houston Rockets. Folks, I'm a fan. I'm a fan. This team was so goddamn bad the first half of the year. Then they turned it on in the second half. Then they lost Alfair and Shingun and missed the playoffs by, I think, two games. Over under win total of 43.5. Do you all know that the Rockets won 41 games last year? Like, I'm shocked I saw the number. Over 43.5. So win total. Odds to win the Southwest Division, 6-1. Odds to win the Western Conference, 30-1. Odds to win the NBA title, 80-1. We're not even worried about those last two. Folks, I love this team. I love Ime Udoka. Forget about what he does off the floor. They got a good point guard at Fab Five Freddy. Jalen Green's a stud. Jabari has continued to get better, right? I think Alfair and Shingun, y'all laughed at me when I said it last year. I call him Mini Joker. I'm dead ass. He's Mini Joker. His ability to pass the ball and see the floor, his cerebral IQ. I can't stand Dylan Brooks. Hate him. Hate his guts. But when he's locked in, he can help. But it's that second team. Unless Steven Adams gets traded. Steven Adams, tough as nails. Tari Eason, one of the top defenders in the NBA. Amen Thompson, I think is going to be great. And then you look at Reed Shepard and Cam Whitmore. Folks, I'm going to put this right now. Put a couple bucks on Reed Shepard to win Rookie of the Year. Because he's going to play minutes. And if Dylan Brooks acts a fool, I could see them going three-guard alignment late in games to have guys that can create off the bounce. And especially someone like Reed Shepard, who could shoot the snot out of it. Reed Shepard doing Rookie of the Year, plays a couple bucks on it, 6-1. And I love this team to go over their win total. I think they're that good. I'm going to take them over their win total of 43.5. I'll give you one better. I will give them a puncher's chance and take them to win the Southwest Division. I truly feel Dallas is going to take a little bit of a step back. And I think it's a two-team race between New Orleans and the Rockets. So you'll know what I'm doing when we get to New Orleans. But take a little piece on them to win the Southwest Division at 6-1. Let's end today's podcast by talking about the Indiana Pacers. Indiana Pacers team that had a great regular season last year, 47-35. Obviously, you know that they made it all the way. It was the in-season tournament, now known as the NBA Cup. This year, obviously, they made it all the way, knocking out the Knicks in seven games and making it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. Odds right now, over under 47.5 wins. Odds to win the Central, 3.5-1. Odds to win Eastern Conference, 20-1. Odds to win the NBA Finals, 50-1. And when you look at this team and you look at that division, okay? I don't think they're winning the division. In fact, I think they're going under their regular season win total. I think Milwaukee will get to them. But you know how I feel about Cleveland. And I just got a feeling, at least early on in the year, Detroit's going to be better than people think. So to me, I like Indiana to go under their win total. And if you look at the standings, conference-wide, they were the sixth seed at 47 wins. So I think a play for you to do is Indiana Pacers ready? Plus 145 to make the in-season tournament. I don't think they're better than Boston. I don't think they're better than Cleveland. I don't think they're better than Philadelphia. I don't think, you know, they're better than the Knicks. You know, so if you talk about Boston, New York, Cleveland, Philadelphia, I think Orlando's going to be really, really good again. That's five. So now I'm betting on, can I get a 16? Probably Milwaukee will sneak their way in, or Miami will come out of nowhere because it's that Heat culture. Plus 145 for them to make the play-in tournament in the Indiana Pacers. In regards to Tyrese Halliburton, great season, 25-1 to get, I'm sorry, 10 to 1 if he got 25 or more assists in the game. Regular season leader at plus 160. Simply put, just do it. Tyrese Halliburton to lead the NBA in regular season assists at plus 160. He averaged 10.9 assists per game. He led it by over one. Okay? If you look at the guys underneath him, Luka, not gonna get up there. Joker, trying to get a triple-double. I think Tyrese gets 11 assists a game, so won't get there. James Harden, taking on more of a scoring role. LeBron James needs help. Sabonis won't get there. The one that's interesting that you know, my producer, Matty George, does a great job, told me, he said that the favorite is Trae Young. Trae Young goes to DeJounte Murray. Trae Young's reached the ball 295,000 times. Okay? So I'm not believing that. One of the best bets I can give you right now on this podcast, Tyrese Halliburton to lead the NBA in assists at plus 160. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast for September 10th. For all things sports gambling, download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, prop predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. Remember, folks, would it be 9/11? Thank a police officer. Thank our military. Thank a firefighter. Thank anyone that is keeping our country safe. Next week, we'll continue our previews of NBA teams, and we'll preview the end of the WNBA season. And we'll talk a little bit about this whole thought of teams tanking for Kiki Arifin or it's Paige Beckers. For my producer, Matty George, and Vinny, who does a great job with the graphics, thank you for listening, folks. Remember, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.